In golf, precision is everything, on and off the course. PGA of America chose advanced 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business for smooth operations and seamless transactions. Together, we enhance ticketing and concessions for better fan experiences from gate to green. This is pro-level efficiency. This is PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Off the ball, GAA.
Somebody's going to win and somebody unfortunately is not going to win. And we had a lot of days against Armagh. They're very, very special.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball breakfast.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
It is Thursday morning and we're here with you all the way through until about 10 o'clock this morning. Gary O'Hanlon is going to be our version of You Had to Be There, the chef presenter of the podcast Dishing It Out. It's a brilliant story, multiple brilliant stories, very relevant this week given the golf is on. Harry McNulty is a former Ireland Sevens captain who represented Ireland at the Olympic Games, and he's going to be the last Irish men's Sevens captain to represent Ireland at the Olympic Games. We've shit-canned our Sevens programme. We'll get his reaction to that at 20 past 8. Gavin Devlin is, of course, probably most familiar to you all as Mickey Hart's right-hand man for such a long period of time. At Louth, at Derry for a season, at Tyrone, of course, at the end of Mickey Hart's tenure there. Played under Mickey Hart, won two All-Irelands, but is now orchestrating things behind the scenes in Louth underage football. So what a week they're having. They've got an under-20 semi-final to come, and they've got a minor Leinster final to come on top of the senior team doing so well. So we'll find out why it's all going right for Louth football just after 8 o'clock, and we're going to run you through the newspapers. In the meantime, we say good morning to Arthur.
What's crack? You know you're going to be first.
Also, well, and also Dara.
Oh, guys.
How are you, Dara?
I'm good. How are you, Chair?
I'll run through the newspapers first because obviously it's the start of the golf day. McIlroy hunts back-to-back majors at Happy Hunting Ground. And the tee times are right from the get-go. Padraig Harrington is out with Luke Donald and Martin Kaymer. Three Europeans, obviously, you know, Luke Donald is the Ryder Cup captain. Martin Kaymer is a major winner. Padraig Harrington has won this competition. The Yanks don't tend to put the Europeans out first, though. They've put them out.
Yeah.
Isn't that like, get them out of the way? Anyway, they'll obviously be last out tomorrow. So they're at 12 o'clock our time. So from noon, you can sit and do nothing and watch golf. And then Rory's gone out at 20 past one. Shane Lowry is out at 12:40 our time. Seamus Power is out at a 12:15 our time. So they're actually largely starting early, with the exception of Tom McKibben, Liv's Tom McKibben, who's going out at 7:30. McKibben was asked by the Irish journalist yesterday, do you regret your move to Liv? And he's like, I mean, he didn't make the dollar sign. He didn't do that. But is it $3.5 million he's made so far this year? You know, I regret my decision terribly. You know, sports washing is terrible. It's awful. I can't hear you through my bed of money.
How's he swung an invite? Is this just, how is he at this?
They got, there was, I actually don't know.
Might be just residual.
There were spaces for Liv golfers. I don't know why he is the one who's getting it, because there's some Liv golfers who have made an absolute fortune this year who aren't in. McIlroy, I've achieved my dream but want to win more. This is is the edge gone? How can he still have that weird, mad, burning desire? But maybe that's the thing that made him in the first place.
When he said everything else is a bonus now, that's kind of scary if you're playing against him. You're like, this guy doesn't care anymore. He's just going to go out and play it. I wouldn't want to play someone like that. He's just like, yeah, I've done everything I wanted now. I'm pretty satisfied, but might as well pick up a few more trophies.
Or, I mean, I've done everything. Like, come on. If he still has the same psychotic desire to win after having done that, then that is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know.
Alexander the Great.
Things happen in golf, don't they?
Are there
you just no find other... yourself in a position. Like, I don't know. It's a weird old sport. Like,
no other worlds to conquer. Galway Dublin Group of Death clash heading for Full House. So it's a double header in Salt Hill this Saturday. Galway versus Antrim at 2:30. I think the spread is about 20 points.
Oh, they'll absolutely, yeah, they'll go to town on. Well, Antrim have been shocking.
Yeah, Antrim haven't been great. Now, they were ahead of Kilkenny at halftime in Belfast.
Yeah.
They have a load of injury problems, particularly missing like half their forwards, and then one of their forwards, James McNaughton, who was their top scorer, got sent off for a straight red last week, and so he'll be missing from this game. So you'd expect Galway will rotate, or maybe they won't.
No, they're only third. Like, they can't really afford to take any risks.
Well, there'll be no risks. There's no risk.
But you know what I mean? Like, it probably wouldn't hurt to put up a big score.
Maybe.
Because it could well end up on that.
And then it's Galway Dublin at 5:00 on Saturday evening. Glorious sunshine, even in Salt Hill this weekend. Yeah. I'm reliably informed. It's not going to rain in Salt Hill for a change. What do we expect to happen in the Galway Dublin game? Like, is this a chance for everybody to go out and smash Dublin and send them back?
It's hard to know. Galway don't need to send a message really to Dublin.
No.
They've already beaten them. Like,
I know, but
a bigger,
you know,
game. Do you know, like, I'm sure they'll want it. I'm not saying their motivation to be questioned, but it's not like they have a proof of point on their way to. They know they can beat them.
Yeah.
It's massive for Dublin. For their own sense of well being.
Galway have an argument to be the best team in the country, and Dublin are far off that, so I don't think it's.
Well, then you need to just make sure that you just take care of business.
Yeah, it's an expectation. Yeah.
In previous years, when everybody said Dublin were the best team because they were the best team and they were coming up against a side like Galway, they'd just handle business.
Yeah.
They'd be 4-0 at halftime. They'd win by 5 or 6. Yeah. It would never be a contest. But you can't have that anymore, you know? There is the chaos of the new rules where ball gets larried into the full forward line.
I'd expect Galway to go well. I really hope Galway win the All-Ireland. I'm putting that out there.
That's Sligo, man.
Yeah, nah, I have no problem with Galway. Galway are fine. Galway have no notions. Galway go and do it. You know what I mean? It's not like Mayo. I just do. I like them. I like Pádraig Joyce. I like what they're about. I like the way they play football. It would be great. It'd be great to have it shared around, because we were only talking about that beforehand. It's just so nice. No disrespect to Dublin, but it's so nice having the openness. And even when you're there talking about the minor and underage, the under 20 finals and things in Leinster, you're like, Leinster under 20 final between Louth and Offaly. It feels like such a novelty. Sorry, Leinster minor between Louth and Offaly. It feels like such a novelty. Like, it's great. More of it. So hopefully Galway win, keep spreading it out, keep it away from Kerry and Dublin.
Yeah. The Dublin Hurlers obviously beat Galway last night in the Leinster semi-final in the under 20s. And they took care of business, 218 to 17 points, which I don't know if everybody thought that this was going to be one of those Dublin teams that was going to be good enough to get that done, but they have been. Maybe the world is turning on its axis. Dublin Hurlers are rising.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. It'd be great as well.
It would be good for the sport if they were better, right? If there was another team who was good.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely for Leinster. But they're obviously, they've Kilkenny this weekend, and then I think, is there one round or two rounds left? Is it Kilkenny? They play Galway anyway, and what will be the decisive game?
Decisive in terms of reaching the Leinster final,
for sure.
But it looks like they're already home and hosed. I mean, there's still a way that
they'll probably lose
be.
This weekend, and then Wexford probably win. So I don't know. I don't think they're in a good position. Obviously, the Pulpits has a great position. Sorry, they've beaten Wexford as well, haven't they? So they probably should be fine. But it's the only problem is they got to a Leinster final as well.
Yeah, and they didn't show up.
They got absolutely destroyed.
Well, they were two goals down after about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was horrendous. It was one of the worst games I've ever seen.
There's a new confidence about them in that they have a new manager. Who is
a
just
Dublin manager as well, and
I think that matters. Yeah, and fresh off winning the All Ireland.
Yeah. I'd be great. No, like I would. I wouldn't want to see them winning All Ireland. It's funny, but I'm all for them kind of being in amongst it.
They're 5-point underdogs heading into the game against Kilkenny with the bookmakers. FIA halves hardline fines for drivers using foul language. You're not allowed to swear in Formula One.
What?
Yeah, but now they've decided we used to throw the book at you. We're only going to throw half the book at you. So their president, Mohammed Ben Sulayem, has decided that, maybe it's not that bad a thing. It's not as egregious a sin as it used to be. Serena's husband buys stake in Chelsea women for £20 million. Does anybody know who Serena's husband is?
No.
Yeah, it's the guy who found Reddit, wasn't it?
Yeah. Did you know that before today?
Yeah.
Alexis Ohanian, one of the Mayo Ohanians, no, it's spelled differently, has bought a stake of under 10% in Chelsea Women FC, which values Chelsea Women FC at £200 million, which makes them the most valuable women's team in the world. He is 42 and obviously married to Serena, which is what he's most famous for. But before that, he did co-found Reddit, which is, quite a big platform. Mm. And I suspect makes him very rich. This is interesting because Chelsea obviously sold the club to themselves in a bid to avoid financial fair play irregularities last year. And everyone's like, well, that's ridiculous. The club's not worth that at all. But it turns out Chelsea actually quite good at the business of football at the moment.
We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of money there tied up in assets that kind of. I don't know if where's your man Mudrick now? There's a lot of money tied up in that man.
Well, look, they seem to be able to get away with it. They're still linked with best young players in the world at the moment.
Yeah, but I just think isn't it such bullshit that it's even, when everyone in the last week or two is kind of talking about how amazing Barcelona were, and they were. Great, whatever thing. And it's just it's the most, they're bang to rights on kind of their financial mismanagement, whatever else, and it has no consequences. And I even think, I remember, I don't know who was talking about it in the week, and it's like, oh, geez, they had a very quiet summer because of all the transfers, their financial things. They spent 60 million on Dani Olmo. Could barely register him and had to do all this different finagling and all the levers.
Many, many levers needed pulled.
My kind of notion is football clubs of that stature are just too big to fail. There'll be whatever will be done will have to be done to not make sure they don't face the repercussions of their actions.
But
what's that 20 million getting? What's he doing with it? I don't.
He's getting 10% of the club.
Yeah,
but 10% of the club.
What's that do?
I actually don't know what the value or why you get 10% of a club to be into. You go to the board meeting and everybody goes, "We have to listen to what he says. But we don't have to do anything he says.
Yeah.
You have to listen to what he says and smile politely and make sure that the petty fours are nice and that the food is good and however he likes his coffee, we know in advance, and whatever he's drinking is already on tap for him. And it's like, oh, thanks a million for your money. We love your money. you've got a view on the right back. Yeah. Good man. Yeah. How's Serena? Oh, are you going to Wimbledon this year?
Would she come to a game?
It's a bit like LeBron investing in Liverpool. It's just like, do you know what that is? And he didn't even know who Peter Crouch was, so that was pretty disappointing.
Why would he? Why would Peter Crouch enter onto his radar?
We have some Heimer Hallgrimsson goodness to bring you from yesterday's press conference. What's the general view from everybody out there watching this morning on the job that Heimer is doing at the moment? Because what used to be a culture war has just totally calmed, right?
Yeah.
Well, four new caps named in the squad yesterday.
Games. There's not been. It'll rev right up once September.
We got annihilated by England, but then we won some other games either side of that.
Yeah.
And we did okay against England for a period of the match. We tried something.
You spent a good few weeks chastising Colm for. Munster did all right in that game against Leinster for a little bit. It's like, yeah, but they lost by whatever the hell it was. It's like we lost 5-1.
But hang on, 5-0. Munster should be not accepting that. We should be accepting that England are ahead of us in the world. Like, they're a first-tier football nation. We're a fifth-tier football nation.
For sure, but,
these things are not the same.
It's not often.
Leinster and Munster play in the same competition and provide players of similar standards.
It was a competitive game.
Our players don't play in the Champions League. All of their players are Champions League players, basically, at some point.
This week on Diverted.
¿Te gusta Mayeruna?
Sí, well, you know, cuando tienes tiempo en Argentina es esencial para comer media luna todos los tiempos.
I tell the story of how my hitchhiking disaster led me to the family of Alexis McAllister.
Para nosotros también es un gran orgullo que mi hermano haya jugado con Maradona y Alexis, su hijo, haya jugado con Messi, que son los dos más grandes exponentes del fútbol mundial que dio la Argentina.
I also meet Dickie McAllister at the Buenos Aires Hurling Club, and we discover the national sport of Argentina, pato.
¿Anduviste en otro lado filmando pato ya o no?
Diverted, coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
The rural way of life is about making everyone feel at home. Tractor Supply chose advanced 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business to transform intelligent customer service. Together, we put the power of AI to work across 2,200 stores, keeping things running seamlessly inside, curbside, and countryside. This is elevated customer experience. This is Tractor Supply with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Let's hear from Heimer. Here he is talking about Evan Ferguson's disappointing loan and Adam Ida's goal scoring at Celtic.
No, that's an interesting thing about him. We would just like to see him in camp where he is at the moment. He isn't getting playing time at West Ham, so we just want to see where he is at the moment. We cannot do much in 10 days, but hopefully he will get a good off season and then start a good pre season and come in flying in September. Goes with him like everyone else.
I'd say has show good form at Celtic this season. Can you tell what the difference is with the way he's playing there to what he's playing with Ireland, with whom he hasn't been scoring as prolific as he has been at Celtic?
Yeah, the easy answer to that one is that normally they have ball possession, probably 70-80% in games. They have a lot of goal scoring opportunities and strikers will tend to score from those opportunities. We have less in the games we are playing. So it's more difficult to score when you play with Ireland than Celtic.
Yeah, it's a fair point from Heimer there. It's like we're not dominating games. 13 league goals for Adam Ida. Did he score again last night? Johnny Kenny scored last night for Celtic in a 5-1 win at Pittodrie against Aberdeen. Yeah. I wonder how far Johnny Kenny is away from getting a look in at this stage. Is there any benefit to just getting him around the squad and saying, you know, we're watching you? Or does everybody just know they're watching you because you're Irish and we've got such a limited pool of players?
Yeah.
Needs more games.
It's hard to know. He probably does need to keep playing. And he probably isn't going to be, he's not going to be a starter for Celtic. Like, they can just, they're in a position where they don't need to do that. They can kind of always get someone a little bit more ready-made and probably need to do that in terms of their European ambitions as well. Like, so it just depends on what he wants to do, if he wants to hang around. And it's very, very difficult. It's very, like, because it's that weird paradox where if he came to a point where he was a good enough player to start for Celtic, then he'd probably need to already be looking elsewhere to develop. It's a weird kind of dynamic where you're the best, you're in such a strong position with the team you're on that it probably ceases to be a challenge if you get to a certain point or a certain level.
Did the Champions League run this year not suggest that actually you could really develop at Celtic? Brendan Rodgers is there now. It looks like probably for the medium term, which...
It's still developed to a point where you're probably going to have to leave. Like, it's just there's an upper limit to it.
Yeah, but I think if you were to offer Johnny Kenny the starting position of Celtic, who are winning the treble and getting into the Champions League, he'd be like, I'd be happy with that career.
At 21, sure. But like, if he, my point is, if he was good enough at 21 to be starting for Celtic, his probably ambition could be higher. Do you know what I mean? That kind of way, it's a strange dynamic, obviously. But
there is a world in which he stays at Celtic for 2 or 3 seasons and becomes number one at 24, 25. Oh, you know, like,
that'd be great. It'd be fantastic.
Writing everybody off. Is he still only 21?
Oh yeah, I'm not writing him off at all.
His time at Celtic, like,
yeah, I just don't know. It's that hard because they'll always have the resources to have someone that is ready, and it's just that hard.
Seasoned 28, 29-year-old will come in.
Do you hang around? And
no, they did sign Ida on loan. Mm. Like, he wasn't ready made. He was still very raw, and is still very raw. Is still progressing.
Yeah, Yeah, so I don't know. Like, you just kind of want him to keep playing. That's the kind of the that you want. You don't want someone not playing.
Yeah,
because we look at things so, now. As you mentioned, Ferguson, like, it's been a disastrous year for him. Like, really,
is there a world in which he stays in Scotland and plays in the SPL for somebody else, or is the best thing for him to have a season somewhere in the Championship or somewhere in Europe, to go to Holland and follow the path of Troy Parrott? Parrott's injured at the minute, so I'm not sure if he's going to be back in time for this this next camp. Hopefully he will. It's a groin injury, it was reported, but he's been out a couple of weeks with it, and they can linger. So
it's hard to know. It's very hard to know. Like, you imagine,
Parrott and Nida are our first choice strikers at the moment in terms of form and.
Yeah, in terms of form, for sure. But, like, I still think they'd probably start Ferguson, all things being equal.
Well, hopefully all of his injury problems are behind him and he actually does get a bit of a run. Josh Keighley last night was one of the four players named in the squad. So he had a good day. Played for Leighton Orient in the second leg of the playoffs. It goes to penalties. He gets booked for screaming in the face of one of the Stockport, I believe?
Yeah, Stockport, yeah. He was quite good throughout the game. I caught the second half. Very impressive. He's only 21. So, and it's
22 on Saturday.
Yeah. So it's like you were saying before the show, it's just another goalkeeper. It's just annoying. Like, he's a really, really promising looking player. Saved the penalty in the penalty shootout as well. But yeah, it's just another goalkeeper. It's like we have so many up and coming strikers and then so many up and coming goalkeepers. We could just use a few decent players in the middle. But yeah, it's great to see. He had a great day yesterday.
So he's at Spurs and he's on loan at Leighton Orient and has been very good this year. I think, I don't know. Could he make it at Spurs? That would be great. Having two or three/four goalkeepers in the Premier League.
Admire your ambition.
You got to dream big, Arthur. What's the point?
You'd be a better kind of advisor for these guys than me.
World on my mind, Heimer holiday mode with US plans for 26. He is talking about us going to the World Cup. The players will have no summer next year. He's talking about 2026. It's important they get a break this year because they're going to the World Cup next year, that big bloated World Cup. It's going to have Ireland in it, in Mexico, the USA and Canada.
Yeah.
And don't overstay your welcome. JD Vance has already warned us. Yeah, come and enjoy your time, but then go home. No, we mean it. Go home.
I think that's brilliant that he's talking like that.
Heimer.
Yeah. You see some people criticising it. I just, a bit of positivity around Irish football. There's been so little over the last decade or so. There's absolutely no harm in someone talking us up, actually believing in the team that he has in his hands. Like, you don't agree?
I don't know. I mean, like, it's just not very Irish. It's like, no, we're going to qualify for the World Cup. And then if we do, I mean, it is a really brilliant achievement.
Maybe that's what we need, something different, something a bit different.
It would be an outrageous achievement.
It would be, yeah.
I don't know. Sure, there's no harm in saying it, but I don't think saying it has much direct correlation with doing it.
No.
To be honest with you, I'm not sure. All those guys, like, who are in that team are all, by virtue of how far they've gotten in their careers, they're all motivated, they're all self-starters, they've all done remarkable things to become professional footballers. I just don't necessarily think that I don't think it has any correlation. I think it's
what
it's
you good. Say it's and, good and what happens
not necessarily, like, I could be wrong on that, maybe someone will correct me. I just don't that alone, I don't think it's, I think it's funny because I'm sure we'll mention Ruben Amorim in contrast. I think it probably makes for a nicer way of living if you feel like you're aiming for something and you're not just kind of like trying to put out the next fire.
Well, to Amorim, I'm far from quitting. Amorim vows to fight on despite United struggles. Ruben's no quitter as axe looms is the back page of that. Amorim, Europa League win would be a poison chalice is the front of the Telegraph. Ruben, back me or sack me is the star and the mirror. Back me or sack me. Defiant boss Amorim won't walk away from Old Trafford nightmare. He's getting £6 million a year to manage one of the biggest clubs in world football. And Dejan Kulusevski yesterday tweeted from his hospital bed.
Amazing.
That is, Patella is injured and he's out for the rest of the season. It's all coming up, Ruben.
They're missing a lot of players.
There isn't.
I almost feel for them. That's Madison Bergwell. Like, my God.
All of their good attacking players and their replacement level attacking players.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Son and Solanke.
Solanke, yeah.
There's no excuses here.
It's definitely becoming. Well, but that's the funny thing that he was saying as well. He was obviously doing his. I think they were framing it as the pre Europa League final press conference, but I'm sure he'll speak again next week.
He'll obviously do one from Bilbao too. So it's the pre. There is a game against Chelsea. They're obviously pieing off
to get through
in the Premier League, which is of massive significance for loads of other teams that obviously Man United don't care about. When they play the 12-year-olds against Chelsea and get beaten, they'll be like, who cares? It's only the league.
But he was saying yesterday that he is concerned that if they win, that they're not ready for the balance of having to play Premier League and improve as he knows they have to with playing in the Champions League. Which is, I think it's a fair concern, and it's probably, he's probably correct. But
on one hand, we have Heimer saying we're going to qualify for the World Cup. On the other, the manager with the third biggest budget in world football saying we can't compete on two fronts. Which of these would you rather be? Whose world do you want to live in?
But he's right, but it's not, because we were talking about it before. And like, it is right in terms of like, even those teams say, we're talking about Villa from whatever last season to this season, Newcastle the version before, where they've done incredibly well in the league to qualify for the Champions League, and the next season they drop off in the league because they don't have the capabilities, despite having everything going quite well, to balance both. Same thing with Newcastle. Newcastle got back in after being out for a year. They couldn't do it. Same thing. So the idea that, and I don't think necessarily 17th is, or however 16th are, is necessarily Man United's a reflection of the talent available. I don't think it's their true position, but the fact, the notion that a team that is mid-table at best could go into the Champions League and feel no ill effects or improve on both fronts is kind of fanciful.
Well, he's going to have his players to play his style.
Well, that's back or sack.
This three at the back is
back, sack or crack. So, I don't know. Like, it's he was in. He had a lot of tough questions to answer yesterday. It was also, he's talking about the guys he's paying for the goal. So I think that was an optics thing. Club don't want to be paying out because they've sacked so many people,
right? And
they're relying on staff to pay for other staff.
So it's actually the family of the staff that he's sending over. It's not the staff, right?
Okay, so but it's like 60 family, is it?
Two people, 30 of them.
It's not nothing.
And we were talking about this yesterday. Do you think the owner cares? He's delighted. Somebody's that's great. The more people for my barbecue. Bilbao is a great city, good food.
It's surely rubbing up the wrong way. It is a bit of defiance though, isn't it? It's a bit like, if you're not going to do it, I'll do it.
Well, it is that. Why can't the billionaire do it?
Yeah.
Because, you don't get rich giving it away.
I don't know. It feels increasingly like it's kind of heading one way in the medium term.
And what way is that?
They're
going to win this game, right?
I think they'll win the game, especially just with the amount of players Spurs are missing. I think they should win the game.
And then the Champions League, and then,
Yeah, but I don't necessarily know. It's going to be, well, it'll put it this way, it'll be a massive summer of flux. So I don't know where now it stands. It seems to change every day with like the Liam Delap thing. But say they get him. They have to get some midfielders. They have to get probably another, there's a lot that has to be done. And they've not, I know it's a different sort of different people involved. They've not typically been amazing at getting those deals done. And the fact that they're off to, whatever it is in the Far East or Near East after, more or less as soon as the league finishes.
Gotta make the bank.
I know, but it just makes it so much more difficult to actually prepare.
It does a little. That preseason thing, I think, does have an impact on teams.
Nuts.
You see, Dan Ashworth has got a new job. He's back at the FA in charge of everything again.
Yeah.
He's got a great reputation, very well respected within the world of football. Accepted Manchester United. Obviously, Newcastle wanted to keep him. They made the gardening leave thing a real problem.
Yeah, I guess so. They probably paid enough for him.
Was he responsible for any of the great signings that they made that is now a team who actually looks pretty good?
It's hard to know. I don't know.
It is hard to know, but it's they have a plan. And
I mean, they did sign a guy who got banned for whatever number of months for betting.
Excuse me. Yeah, now he's back in the team.
Yeah, now he's back.
And he's playing really well.
Playing really well.
I wouldn't call that your due diligence.
It's Man United-esque. Right, it is 7:57. If you want to get involved this morning, we'd love to hear from you. 087-980-180 is the WhatsApp number. We are going to talk about the Sevens rugby situation, which is now no more part of the men's game. The women's game obviously will continue to have a Sevens team as they try and develop more players for the 15s game. But there's definitely a hierarchy has been established since David Humphreys has arrived and David Yusufora is gone. That's coming up around about 8:30 this morning. If you've got a view on that or anything else, you can WhatsApp us. 087-9-180-180 is the number there.
Last night on Off the Ball, there was this.
That's their main source of income is Team Ireland. And so everything centralised around Team Ireland. But the other three provinces have gone backwards. There's no doubt about it. And David Humphreys now has to bring the other three up. And it's about more bringing the other three up than it is about bringing Leinster down.
And this.
I'll reference Shaw there in Man and Superman, where he'd leave his wife starving and his children hungry for his art. And I don't recommend you leave your wife starving. Your kids, maybe, but not your wife.